Will you pray with me? Loving God, and now may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was all over the news yesterday. A Walmart in California. Black Friday, midnight, on the night after Thanksgiving. A woman wanted a Nintendo game box. But there were others ahead of her. And there was only one left. So she used her little can of pepper spray in order to get that game box. And this was within minutes of the end of our day of Thanksgiving. Dear God, thank you that I was smart enough to remember my can of pepper spray so that I could get that game box. It's times like these when we see the ugly head of runaway capitalism and materialism. And I add capitalism because the stores and their marketing executives set it up to make it easy for things like this to happen. They appeal to the worst of the human condition. I deserve, I want, therefore I must have at all costs. And why are we doing this? Why do we have midnight store openings? So we can buy gifts to celebrate Christmas? No. According to the stores, it's so that we can put their profits into the black for the year. In our world of high finance and slick marketing, it's easy to lose sight of what this season is about. And therefore, we need to revisit it. For 4 weeks, every year, during this season of Advent, to reclaim our proper perspective. Every year we light Advent candles, not to count down the weeks before Christmas, but we light them to remind us that the light of the world has come into the world and is coming into the world. And the candles over time have become to represent four themes of the Advent Christmas season. And indeed, four things that are the benefits of a faithful life. They are the candle of waiting and hope, the candle of peace, the candle of joy, and the candle of love. This Advent season, I want to look at what these candles represent in a deeper way. And to do that, to help us center our thoughts, as I announced, I will be using movies. However, I want to be clear, I will not be using Christmas movies. That's not to say they don't have any message for us. But I want to draw from a rich repertoire of films available to us. And again, I am sorry that I was unable to show the one last Friday night. But I will be showing the other three over the next 3 weeks, next three Friday nights at 7 p.m. And I hope that you will join us and see these as opportunities to find meaning and hope for your lives using the media of movies. And I hope that these showings would provide a time for you to come out of the busyness and to sit and reflect. And today we begin our season with the theme of longing and hope. We find this sense of longing in both our Isaiah passage and in the passage from the Gospel of Mark. In Isaiah, we heard, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. God who works for those who wait for Him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you and your ways, but you were angry and we sinned, and because you hid yourself, we transgressed. Do you hear the longing? Oh God, that you would come like you did in days of old." But they perceive that God, because God hid God's self, they sin. Do you, oh God, we remember what you used to do. Do it for us again. We are in a sorry state. And then in Mark we hear, "So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that He is near, at the very gate. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day, that hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when that time will come." In Mark, even though there's a sense of uncertainty about it, there is the promise of an end to our waiting. And we have to be on the lookout for it. We have to be centered on it, looking for it. In Leonard Bernstein's musical, West Side Story, we see this sense of incredible longing and hope in dark times. In 3rd Isaiah's time, the people had come back from the exile. Elna Solvang, a professor at Concordia Seminary, writes about this time. The Persian king Cyrus had defeated the Babylonians, established a decree that the exiles could return to their homeland. Threats, divisions, and land battles, power struggles erupted between and among the returnees. Those who had remained in the land and those who had settled there from other places after Jerusalem was conquered. The restoration of Jerusalem to past glory that had been envisioned was clearly not going to happen, at least not in the time and the ways expected. They longed for the days of old when God came and performed the mighty acts for God's people. They lived in darkness, waiting. Tony in West Side Story lives in darkness. It's amazing to me as I watch the movie again. The whole story happens in darkness, pretty much, in nighttime. And Tony longs for happiness in this darkness. He longs for a meaningful relationship. Something special to happen to him. It is his constant hope, and we hear it in his dreams. He says about his dreams, "Every single night for the last month, I wake up and I'm reaching out. It's right outside the door, just around the corner, but it's coming." And then he sings, and I'm not going to sing it. Could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away. As soon as it shows, it may come cannonballing down through the sky, gleam in its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due. Gonna come true. Come to me. Tony has hope. He knows it's out there, and he's looking for it. His eyes are looking. And that's what's lacking in our Isaiah passage, because they don't have that sense of hope. They don't have that feeling that it's just around the corner. Now, we have to admit that Tony is very naive in a lot of ways in his thinking in the movie. But he longs for that relationship. a relationship, which he finally recognized that he could not get in the politics of power with his friends, the Jet Gang. And then that night, he meets Maria at a community dance. And the miracle happens. It's come out of the corner. It's come off the beach. And it's right in his face. Maria is the sister, though, of Bernardo, the leader of the Sharks, the Puerto Rican gang. And there is the struggle. Love versus community, brotherhood. From that moment on, though, they longed to be together, Maria and Tony. They longed for a blessed life together. They longed for God to take their two hearts, their two hands, their two lives, and make them one. But it's not to be. But they hold on to that hope. There's a place for them. There's somewhere a place for them. Peace and quiet and open and air wait for them somewhere. They long for lives and love and peace where they can be together. But that place, that dream, that hope is shattered in the sounds of guns and knives and violence. But then in the end, in a burst of anger and grief, Maria challenges the Jets and the Sharks in their hate. She said, "You have taught me to hate." And she challenges them to see what hate does, how hate kills what's good. And we see the beginnings, or the possible beginnings, of reconciliation as the dead Tony is carried out by both Sharks and Jets. In Mark, we are reminded that in the dark end, there is a second coming. There is new hope. When things are their darkest, like Tony, we need to believe it's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I've got a feeling there's a miracle due, and we need to look for it. Because it's there someplace. But we have to be looking to find it. We have to have that longing to be aware of it. We have to believe that God is there. That remember that the message of Advent is not just that the Messiah has come. The message of Advent, as I shared with the kids, is that the Messiah will come and is coming every day. It will come in God's way, in God's time, and we need to keep watch. Whatever darkness we may be feeling, could be the darkness of poverty, of not having a job, of suffering, of wrong decisions, of suffering from illness. In that darkness, we can hope. Because the message of Advent and Christmas is that God will redeem our suffering, our darkness, by joining us in the darkness. That's what's wonderful. It's not that God necessarily pulls us out of it, but God joins us in our darkness, holds our hands, and guides us forward into the light. We can be glad that God is not like Officer Krepke, who says to the Sharks, "Things are tough all over. Beat it." That's not our God. God is the one who takes us by the hand and says, "I will join with you in your struggle and give you strength for it and lead you out of it." this Advent, wherever you experience darkness, I pray that you will take your longing for light and hope to God. I hope you will know deep in your heart that there is time and there is a place for you in God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.